kind of going to get into to some pigs, some pig business, right? Pork stock. Right? So Matthew 8, we're 28 on to the end of the chapter. It says, when he came to the other side in the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were extremely violent, that no one could pass that way. And they cried out, saying, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now there was a herd of many swine feeding at a distance from them. The demons began to entreat him, means to beg, saying, if you are going to cast us out, send us into the herd of swine. He said to them, go, and they came and rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. And so they jumped off a cliff. And the herdsmen ran away and went to the city and reported everything, including what had happened to the demoniacs. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they implored him to leave their region. We'll get there. So, this is the shortest account of this event. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it is the shortest recording of this event. There's also some minor differences between them, one demoniac or two. But one of the bigger differences is, here, he's talking about the region of the Gadarenes. This is Gadara, right? This is the Sea of Galilee, the big, you know, when they talk about walking on the sea, this is the sea that he walked on. Okay, here's Capernaum, here's Nazareth, right? Jerusalem. Here's Gerasa. We're going to talk about Gerasa here in a second because that's the other area of which this account is said to have taken place. So they think it's somewhere in this general region, which would be the Gadarene region. It is Greek or Roman in population. We can tell that because they've got pigs. Pigs are unclean. We'll get there. Right? And it's what today would be known as the West Bank. So, demon-possessed. So, when we say that, if you were to read a book in the 1800s, say Dostoevsky, he wrote a book called The Idiot. Literally means the possessed. So, things that we don't generally think of when they're talking demon-possessed is what they're really saying here, right? News about him spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him to all who were ill, right? So everybody who's sick, they're bringing to Jesus, right? Those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, right? So anybody with a disease and a pain, that's these kinds of people, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. The Decapolis. Right, we see that region there. So this is from Matthew 4. Right? So we see, you know, possessed, it covers a much larger area of things than we would generally tend to say, oh, that's what it means. Right? Everybody thinks that it's, what's the weird movie with the girl whose head spins around? The Exorcist, right? We all think of that when we hear a demon possessed. Right? So, that's not really what it was. Right? So, Jesus is seeing all of these people. Right? He's seeing the servants, the followers, and those who are unwittingly healed. Right? They don't even know it. Right. We've got multiple coming to him. Right? Heal us. The centurion's servant. Jesus heals that one from long distance. He's like, I'll come. And the centurion's like, I can't have you in my house. And Jesus says, all right, well, then she's healed. Okay? But here, these demons, they know what's about to happen. They're like, I don't think so. Time out. Right? Jesus is healing left and right, and these demons are like, ah, I ain't coming out. No, how? Right? He does it whether the demons are willing or not. Right? Here they're like, okay, but if you're going to do this, send me into the pigs. Jesus wouldn't have had a problem with that, right? Because pigs, unclean, you know. But normally, pigs are not, you know. So Jesus is healing on all these accounts, right? The demon-possessed, the centurion's servant, the multiple people coming, right? Now, in Mark's account, there's differences, right? The Gadarenes, like I talked about, right? There being one demon instead of two. Here it says there were two men who were demon-possessed. Mark's account says one man. And the demon gives a name. And he says his name is Legion. When you read in Mark, it says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And lots of us here. How many is a legion? About 3,000 to 6,000. I was listening to a sermon series on this demon in particular, and they're like, it's seven demons. And I'm like, that doesn't check. A legion is 3,000 to 6,000 people in ancient Rome. Right? That's how many men are in the army that form a legion. So 30 centuries. Yeah, 3,000 to 6,000. That's how many it is. It's a lot. Right? In other words, it means lots of people. Lots of demons in this, right? You know, like you said, fallen angels, right? Talks about them being legion, but legion after legion, right? Thousands upon thousands. Lots of them.
So that one guy had that many demons.
Our name is Legion, for we are many. 3,000 to 6,000 of them. No wonder why the pigs rushed headlong. That means they jumped off a cliff, if you haven't figured that out. I bet he was tired, right? So, but it also says that he was violent, right? In certain accounts, he's chained up because he's so violent. Right. So here's what the word that they're using for violent actually means when we get into the heart of the text of the Bible. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, though they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. I don't see violent in there. It's right there. Same word.
That's the platform the Democrats are running on right there.
Difficult and violent mean the same thing, right? People are lovers of self.
That's the platform that the world is.
this is kind of our standard platform, right? Lovers of self. I am the best. Follow me. Right? That's a lover of self. Lovers of money. I got the money. Follow what I do.
I am the greatest.
Yeah. As Muhammad Ali said, I'm the greatest. You know, boastful. I'm better than you.
Proud, arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And the list continues.
Arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents.
Sammy. Oh, sorry.
He is not.
He's good. He is so, totally they're right. Ungrateful. How many people have things that they're not grateful for? Right? We all could raise our hand on that. Right? Unholy. The time that you're not wanting to walk like God's calling you to walk, you know, then being unholy. Unloving. love your neighbor as yourself? That one's hard enough, right? How about love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul? That one's even harder. That's the first commandment. Gossips without self-control. The list goes on and on and on. So, are times violent now? Yeah. By that definition given to us in the text, times are violent now. We have the same exact problem today that are going on with this guy. Now, it may mean violent as in he's you know, beating people up, but same word. Right? But what does violent mean? It means to misuse the name of God. We do that constantly. Our society as a whole does that. We love self over God. You know? We get, you know, I mean, you get the point that I'm getting at here, right? It's not a pretty picture, and it's pretty much the same thing that we always talk about. Is, hey, we're missing the boat here. We're looking at the forest, but instead of the forest, we're seeing trees. Note what the demons say, though. Son of God, have you come to send us out? These demons, they believe. They believe in who Jesus is, and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's not your turn. It's my turn. Right? You ever watch, now when I was a kid, there was this show, Looney Tunes. But there was an offshoot of it called Tiny Toons, and there was an elevator skit, right? It says, no, your turn, my turn. Elevator go up, elevator stop, right? So, it's not your turn. It's my turn. That's what the demon says to Jesus. He's like, hey, what business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? What business do we have? Son of God, I know who you are. Leave me alone.
But you're early.
You're not on time at all. Thanks for being on time for nothing. Right? Some may well say.
Just say, I do what I
want. It kind of does. Okay. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You believe this? You do well. Demons also believe and shudder. They acknowledge who Jesus is here, and they're like, whoa, 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 don't torment me yet. It's not time. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Right? James ties it in. He says, believe what you want. Belief is, it doesn't mean anything to believe. Right? I can believe that the sky is purple. Doesn't change anything. I have faith that the lights will turn on when I flip the switch, so long as the electric bill's paid. It will! Hey, look at that. The electric bill must be paid. Right? They're like, what do we have? What business do we have with you, Son of God? Right? It's a common name for Jesus throughout the Old Testament, right? We talked about it last week. We said Son of Man. And we kind of broke that down. That's in Daniel. Hey, Jesus refers to himself. Let's go there, because that's simpler. As the Son of God. Hey, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hey, look at that. Son of God. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what does this believe mean? For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not yet judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's John 3:16-18. If you continue on down, it talks about splitting out belief. You have belief and obedience. That those two things have to occur. And they are part of that circle of what is belief. So the demons believe and they shudder. They're amazed. They're like, I know what's about to happen. Son of man, please leave me alone. Right? So, keep that in mind, right? The demons want Jesus to leave them alone. Right? Just leave me alone, Jesus. That's what demons are saying. Right? So, are you outperforming demons in your faith? Demons believe. That's all we got is belief. Then, congratulations, you're performing at the same level as a demon. Good job. Doesn't do anything for you. Faith must have works or else it's not real. It's non-existent. It doesn't live. Faith without works is dead. It's cut off. It's cast away. We have to remember that. That no matter what we want to think, it's got to be about faith and works. The works is part of your faith. Right? So, and they say, what do you want from me? Right? What do we have to do with you, Son of God? And Jesus went out from there. He saw a man called Matthew. Here's Matthew. Sitting in the tax collector's booth. Now, a tax collector, a publican, first century. We're going to transport ourselves back to first century Israel. So what happens is the Roman government comes in. They go, hey, you're really good with numbers, dude. You can read, you can write, you're good with numbers. Come work for us. And a publican is born. This is a tax collector, right? They sit in a booth, they cheat you out your taxes and by overcharging you. Not that any other society or government in history has done that. But they overcharge you on your taxes and they put the overages in their own pockets. So they're known as cheats in the first century. Nobody likes them. So here Jesus walks up to a tax collector's booth and he's like, follow me. Note, how many questions does Matthew ask? None. And he got up and followed him. Doesn't ask questions. He's not like, you sure? Really? You want me? I don't know. Can we get to this Tuesday, man? I got appointments. I got stuff to do. No. It's not what it says. Matthew just gets up and he follows. He's like, okay, I got you. Hated. Matthew was. Right? He's a publican. He's hated. Nobody likes publican. I mean, it's like, you know, saying that your best friend works at the IRS. People are going to look at you funny. Right? People are going to look at you funny if you say that your best friend works for the IRS. Really? IRS? Oof. Not saying that good people don't work at the IRS. I'm saying that they kind of look at it as an even worse form of the IRS. But this is what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to follow him. That's all he wants. He says, follow me. Okay, do what I do. Watch my life and do what I do. And that'll show you who I am. And demons, they don't just want Jesus to leave them alone. They want us to leave him alone. They don't want us to follow. They want us to have nothing to do with Jesus. The same way they want nothing to do with Jesus. Right? That's what they're saying. They're like, hey, we got nothing to do with you right now. You're not on time. You're before your time. Right? Ecclesiastes 3, you know, was a top 10 hit back in its time. Both in the 9th century BC as well as in the 1950s and 60s. Solomon writes, there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. Time to give birth and a time to die. Time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to throw stones, a time to gather. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, a time to give up as lost. a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Everything has its time. The kids have this book called Say Hello to Zorro. It's about a dog. Right? The dog is happy because everybody keeps the schedule every day. But then, the owner, he goes and gets a new dog. Dog's name is Zorro. He's not happy. And Zorro is now intruding in his space. But once he figures out that he and Zorro keep the same time, they're happy because everything's a little louder. Everything's a little happier. You know, I liken it to Sophie and Bella. That everything gets a little louder.
She's not waking you up in the morning, is she? She's waking you up.
No, I hear her while I'm working. So, there's a time for everything, and the demons are like, hey, Jesus, you're out of time. You're out of time. This is not when you're supposed to be here. I'm supposed to have a little more time. It tells us, one, demons are not omniscient. They aren't all-knowing. They don't know everything. Right? Omni, all, scient, or science, knowledge, all knowledge. They don't have that. Because they don't know when Jesus' time is. But they knew who he was. They were ready to go when their time was up. But their time wasn't up yet. However, it was.
Only
and they just
they
didn't
no
know
choice
it.
In the matter,
yeah.
Because Jesus
it's like a 2-year-old at the park or the playground, right? You have to say 5 more minutes. Oh, but I don't. It's not time to go yet. Right? I mean. That's what we're dealing with here. The demons are like, it's not time to go yet. You know, and they want to kick and scream on the ground. But they had a time. They just didn't realize it was over. They had to go. Where were they going to go? To the pigs. Now, why would I put embarrassment up here? They're going to pigs. Jewish culture. Pigs are an unclean animal. So the demons would rather the embarrassment of being sent into pigs than death. Now, Jewish people would look at that the other way. I'd rather death than being embarrassed. Death than defying the laws of God. Right? So to touch a pig would mean that they would have been unacceptable to worship in the temple. To even go into Jerusalem, to go in the complex of the temple, they would have been unclean had they touched a pig. This is how we can kind of tell that this area is not overly Jewish area because we've got pig farmers. Pig farmers would not have been Jewish. They would have been Roman or Greek citizens by this point. Right? It says he cast the demons away. It's to be aggressively ripped away from something. We're not talking like, oh, I'm going to set this over here. It's going to be all... No, it's more like, hi-ya! And he kicks it across the room, right? I mean, it's aggressive. That's what he really gets at here. They knew they were going to be torn away from where they were. Like, this was going to be swift, quick, and aggressive. And they were fine with it. They were like, yeah, do that. Cast us out into the pigs. And they wanted to go into the pigs, and they did. And then, you know, Jesus commanded the demons to go, and they followed. They did. They left. They left the men, went to the pigs, and they followed the command to go. Even Jesus is commanding demons to go, and they go. He commands us to go, and we're like, why? Nah, I don't think I will today. Demons? They go. Us? We don't. Why? Right. Too often we see this command to go, and we look at it and say, when you say Jesus is saying go, and you're telling me I have to follow what Jesus tells me to do, you're giving me works-based righteousness. Or you're telling me I have to do something to be saved. It's not what that means. What that means is literally, Jesus says go, you do it. That's it. Should be the end of the story on that. Shouldn't be some big debate. Should be a, yep, Jesus said it, I'm going to do it. That's it. Show's over. Too often, we debate this. And we're like, oh, I know better. I know better than that. I don't need to listen. But, you know, demons followed Jesus' command to go. First century people followed Jesus' command to follow me. Come follow me! Matthew didn't even question it. He just got up and did it. So when Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, why aren't we? The herd fell. It says that they ran into the sea. They fell headlong into the sea. So I'm figuring it's probably somewhere right in here. And they jumped off a cliff. So them pigs were flying for a second, and then gravity took over. And they stopped flying so much. It was more of a tumble. Right? But they ran into the sea. So they obeyed, but only for a certain amount of time. Right? So, the demons obeyed. Demons show, time and time again throughout Jesus' ministry, we see the demons obeying his commands. Right? Even the disciples, they're like, dude, this is so cool. Like, even the demons are listening to us. Right? Mark 1. They were all amazed, so they were debating amongst themselves, saying, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately, the news about him spread everywhere into the surrounding district of Galilee. Right? So the people, they're like, what's going on here? This dude's got something going on we ain't seen before. He teaches with authority, so much so that the demons, the unclean spirits, obey him. Right. So the whole city comes out to meet him, right? He's cast these unclean spirits into pigs. Pigs have gone into the ocean, the sea, the lake, the river. We're not sure what it is, but they rush headlong. Like, they ran at it. So the whole town comes out to meet Jesus, and they're like, hey, what's going on, man? And why did they come out? To tell him to leave. Hey, Jesus, we heard you just got the unclean spirits out of these dudes, yet you're going to have to leave. You mistreated some animals, so we need you to leave. We can see here that they kind of put the animals they're concerned for, because, I mean, that's their livelihood, at a higher level than their concern for the people who Jesus brought out of this demoniac state. They put the animals on a higher level than the people. Sound like anything we see today in society? It's commonplace. It is such commonplace in today's society that people put animals on that next level up. Like they're a reasoning human being. When we know they're not. We say we have to treat an animal humanely. Let's look at the root word of that. Human. Like a human. I have to treat them like a human. Like I would treat a human. No. No, I don't. Because they are not. Humans are uniquely created in the image of God. These people, they're like, hey, you killed some pigs. You're going to have to leave. Right? They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Sounds a lot like the demons there, right? demons wanted nothing to do with Jesus. These people come out and they're like, we don't want anything to do with you. Take your miracles and leave. They devalue life. They would prefer these people to be trapped in the demon-possessed state that they were, and the pigs be alive, than the pigs be dead and these people be alive. They want nothing to do with Jesus, and they send him away. What are we doing with Jesus? Are we sending him away? I'm saying, yeah, I don't want anything to do with you. Not today, Jesus. I'm good today. Let's talk tomorrow, maybe. Is that how we're treating it? Is that how we look at our relationship with Christ? Or do we look at it like Matthew? And we're like, okay, you said follow. I'm on my way. Because those are the two choices he gives us. Right? When we look at Luke 9, he says, take your cross daily and follow me. If you know, those who aren't for us are against us. It's another saying. So, what are you doing with him? Are you one of the Gadarenes and you're just asking him to leave? Or are you one who's taking up your cross daily and following? That is the crux of the entire matter that we see here. When they saw him, they asked him, they implored him, come on, Jesus, we really like you and all, but you got to go. To leave the region. You've got to go. Is that the way we treat Jesus? I hope not. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come.